Thank you for listening to Ivy Podcast, where we feature weekly leadership conversations with thought leaders and industry experts. Now, here is your host, Angela Alberti.
Hello, Ivy Podcast listeners. Thank you guys so much, as always, for tuning into today's episode. I am your host, Angela Alberti. If you've had a chance to listen to my episodes before, then you know I am all about the workforce ecosystem, staffing, recruiting. Everything that we do to put people to work is exactly what we will be talking about in today's episode. And I have the awesome privilege to sit down with not one, but two awesome leaders and female empowerment guests as part of this special series that we're doing. Brooke and Lauren, can y'all give a brief intro on yourselves, please?
Yes. Hi, I'm Lauren Neisonger, and this is Brooke Brown. We are with Backpack Talent, focused on recruiting into high growth software as a service companies and startups all across the US and even globally.
Awesome. Awesome. What an interesting industry to be in. And you guys are entrepreneurs within this space. So I think we're going to get into some good questions for today's episode. But I'd love for the audience to just kind of get a background, a career timeline, if you will, on each of you guys and how y'all found yourself landed into Backpack Talent.
Yeah. Brooke, kick it off.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, I actually got started pretty early in my career, right out of college. I was fortunate enough to land a position at Insight Global, which is one of the third largest IT staffing firms in the US. So started my career there and spent the majority of my career there. Was there for about 9 years, held multiple roles within the company and wanted to continue that experience, but go remote because before remote was popularized over COVID, that was not an option for me at the time in 2019. So I landed a position with a smaller firm, and that was kind of the journey into, you know, going from a W-2 employee to a 1099, and really learning like how to, you know, start my own business and have my own LLC. And like some of those things that I, you know, was totally oblivious to prior, I picked up through that experience. And fortunately or unfortunately, we were laid off during COVID because we were just a small team at the time. So that's when Lauren and I kind of created Backpack Talent and decided to really, you know, invest in ourselves and go after our goals and being entrepreneurs and starting our own business officially. So nice. That's where we landed. Yeah, it's a little bit about my background.
Okay, awesome, Brooke. Thank you for that. What about yourself, Lauren?
Yeah, so Brooke is definitely the staffing veteran, you know, tried and true best practices and brings so much to the team. I have a bit of a non-traditional background. I started out and tried on a lot of different roles before I found my way to people operations and talent acquisition. I was in biotech, I was in nonprofits, you name it, I've tried it. I did a lot of project management based work and client focused work before finding myself really interested in technology and startups. And I joined a high growth startup in the Raleigh, Durham area that grew, from 20 to about 100. And so we were in that hyper growth stage of maturity, so fun. And that's really how I fell into recruiting. Did a ton of technical recruiting and all over the house from product to marketing to, you know, really every position under the sun, and really fell in love with it. I always was drawn to it because I love people more than, you know, more than process or projects. I think I always like the outcomes of working with people and seeing the impact. And so when I found myself moving from corporate to agency side, really like fell in love with influencing and helping multiple organizations grow opposed to just one. And love like wearing multiple hats. And then Brooke and I really, you know, made lemonade out of lemons when the economic downturn happened with COVID, and really thought, hey, we love technical recruiting. That wasn't our focus at the time, but we really missed it and thought, you know, everyone's going remote, everyone's at home. Let's get ahead of this because everyone's going to need, you know, software engineers and a lot of tech focused employees. you know, as people are at home. And that's really what we saw with COVID. So yeah, it's been a fun journey the last 2.5 years.
And I love y'all's story because I think there's so many nuances within this story that just embody foundational elements of the future of work, right? The experience in being a solopreneur for you, Brooke, and figuring out really what it truly meant to be an IC. And Lauren, you taking so many different roles on the corporate side. And then you guys taking that leap of faith to start your own business through the pandemic, which we know has been a major trend. And we see that actually happening within the workforce. I think 2020 was the year of most filed businesses. So selfishly, there's something that I take away from that and I resonate with, because that's exactly what I found myself in 2020 when I was able to co-found a company at my base pay. So I am very much in love with this story, but I'd love to hear also, what's it actually been like? You know, you guys started a company through the onset of the pandemic. You took that leap of faith. Fast forward to a few years later, how has that experience been like for you guys?
Gosh, I mean, incredibly rewarding and challenging in the best of ways. I think when you own a business and you care so much about it, you're in it all the time. So it is a lesson in, gosh, yeah, setting boundaries and also celebrating wins along the way.
Yeah.
Learning and really making it your own, right? Because we want to be different and do things our own way. And so being able to make sure we're focusing on strategy and covering tactical, those have been, you know, I think things we've learned along the way with trial and error, and so far so good.
Yeah.
That's great. And, you know, at least for me, sometimes there's been a lot of errors more than trials, but you know, that's exactly part of the process. If y'all were, you know, speaking to yourself a few years ago, or maybe that person that's listening in, that's thinking about taking that leap of faith, is there any feedback that you would tell yourself or that listener, like, hey, this is immediately something that I think you should consider if you are going out on a limb and starting your own business?
Yeah, I think for me, you know, I certainly wouldn't have, you know, thought I would have been in this position 5 years ago, but I think just taking that initial leap,
yeah,
you know, making sure it's the right time, obviously, that you have a little bit of a cushion to, you know, fail forward. Because I mean, there are a lot of trial and error that go into that when you're starting your own business, and a lot of learning to be had. So really just getting as prepared as possible, you know, listening to the podcast, you know, consuming content like this, and following in the footsteps of fellow entrepreneurs in your field, and really tuning into that before, you know, taking that step, but being ready and as prepared as you can be and just doing it, you know. Yeah.
You know, I've had the chance to sit down on a lot of these episodes, and I can't tell you how many of the times that I've heard that feedback. It really begins with learning and knowing and just taking that leap of faith. And sometimes I feel like there's this imposter syndrome that can happen, you know, when you find yourself, oh, wow, I'm running my own business, and there's, you know, I'm considered a leader, and I'm the expert. But it really begins with having that confidence and knowing that you can do it. So kudos to you guys, very excited for you guys, but also knowing that, you know, there is something sacred in recruiting and staffing, because it's people's livelihoods that you can change. And it's not just their livelihood, it's their kids and it's their family. And it can even be a generational impact that you make. So I know that that's a very important role, especially as the intermediary, because you guys are aligning that talent with the client, but also you're in a very, I would even dare I say, cutthroat industry. I mean, IT and marketing, knowing that there's a specialization, there's simply not enough supply for the demand. How are you guys running through and navigating those waters when it comes to this very competitive niche that y'all have dedicated yourselves in?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think we're in a relationships business, right? First and foremost, this is about, it's a big decision for a candidate, for a hiring manager, for a company, you know, looking to grow their team. And so we have to balance expectations on all sides, and we take that seriously. And it also means it's a bit of a dance. Like, we can't push too hard if it's not the right fit, if it's not the right time, honoring that, you know, sometimes it, you know, you have to move away from a finalist, you know, for a certain opportunity, knowing hey, something's going to come back around with another client. We want to keep this relationship in a really great way. These are people's lives, right? Mm-hmm. These are big decisions, and people are more and more talking about the background, what's really feeding into a decision and taking a new role, whether it's, you know, responsibilities at home, caretaking for an elderly parent, gosh, having other obligations, you know, really being honest about what's feeding into their decision, benefits, compensation. We hear, you know, we hear so much from candidates that trust us with these details. So I think a big piece of it is really honoring what candidates want, not pushing too hard, and understanding that this is a long play. Like we're in it to win it for the long run, and not we're placing candidates into permanent roles with the intention that they're staying on board and engaged for a long time. And so I think that's something that helps us steer the ship forward in terms of values. That's definitely something that we've learned. What do you think, Brooke?
Yeah, I would agree. I think it's definitely about that relationship and being true to, you know, the client and the candidate's values, mm-hmm. and like authentically what they really are looking for in that next position, and listening and taking a, you know, critical eye to those details, because I think that's sometimes where things get missed. And that's when, you know, candidates get to the end of the process only to decline the offer because there were little details maybe that they mentioned along the way that, you know, didn't quite line up, but, you know, maybe they were just wanting an extra interview in their pipeline. But I think we do a lot of that digging on the front end to make sure it's in full alignment as much as we can, you know, so that that's not something we're dealing with on the back end after an offer has been extended. So,
And I think there's a lot of what you guys do that's highly consultative as well with the client. And I'm sure that throughout the last couple of years, with just how vastly changing and accelerating the workforce has been, there's maybe conversations that you guys have with clients that say, hey, doing X, Y, and Z would actually open up your line of applicants or broaden what is the traditional way. Do you guys have those conversations, or do you guys even recommend potential benefits that weren't once considered to help you out as well on presenting more adequate candidates?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And I think that's something that sets us apart. We love, you know, taking kind of a comprehensive look at what a company can offer a candidate in this market, and then being realistic about, you know, what maybe where there may be gaps. Maybe that's not something they can address this year in that quarter, but it's something that we can speak with, you know, our partner on the people ops and HR side and say, this is something that candidates want. Like, how can we address this moving forward? Or, you know, be really focused in on improving their interview process, right? This is where we see things fall down a lot internally. And we have the unique lens of seeing companies do this a million ways under the sun, right? And maybe not a million, but many, many ways. And so we've been able to identify where there are bottlenecks, where things where we may see missteps through the process, where it may be too lengthy. And we try, you know, using our, you know, having that relationship first and honoring what's great about the process, but also making recommendations along the way. And I think that that really helps because, you know, anytime you're kicking off with a new client, you're developing a relationship, you're learning as you go, and then we're helping them ultimately iterate on their process so that they can, you know, win and land talent. And then, you know, obviously, like, we can continue to have a great experience with our candidates going through their process and joining the team.
Yeah. That's great. That's some awesome feedback. So, you know, there's been a lot of talk on DE&I and really coming up in my mind when I think about DE&I is really leveraging an organization and looking at the way that they source candidates and how you can broaden the amount of candidates that come in. So critical part that you guys play as that intermediary, right? But I thought it was fascinating. And Brooke, this was really part of our prep session on how you guys have found these creative solutions to find more diverse candidates that weren't probably part of that traditional four-year university, or maybe have just a vastly different background that once was more commonplace. Can you guys dive into that a little bit more?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, micro communities are big for us. We like to find creative ways to, you know, get into those micro communities, whether it's on other platforms, like things that most recruiters maybe aren't thinking of, like GitHub or Discord, RFP, just to name. And then additionally, you know, Facebook groups or meetups. and really just trying to be involved as possible and like what's trending in those communities and joining those so that we can be, you know, kind of the voice within those communities and making those connections in addition to, you know, our network that we tap into as well, and trying to be at, you know, startup weeks or as many of those community events as possible. Because I think sometimes that's where you can connect with, you know, the most candidates. With LinkedIn, you can also have those micro communities, but I think certainly like getting in the community and maybe those other of Facebook and the other social media platforms that are out there for developers or marketing professionals is where we like to also spend time.
So just for the listeners that are tuning in, because I think this is fascinating, I actually found this out a couple of weeks ago, but Discord was a chat room that was started for gamers. And I think it's kind of evolved. It's kind of got this like Reddit sort of characterization now where you can have these special chat rooms. But I'm going to be totally frank and honest. That's a clear advantage that you guys have as young entrepreneurs, millennials, Gen Zers, and attracting and knowing really what is out there and thinking outside of the box on where you can find a good candidate supply or and really just build yourself into the community. So super, super interesting on that approach that you guys have taken, you know, and actually stemming from that, you know, I'd love to hear y'all's feedback. Because this is a classic case and it's really exciting to see what you guys have done, but what does the future of work look like for you guys as young entrepreneurs, as these alternative creative strategies are happening, as you see what the benefits that these type of workers are demanding, truly, what does that future of work embody to you guys in y'all's opinion? Because this is totally philosophical to some extent.
So future work, we love thinking about this and dreaming about this. We know remote work is here to stay. We're seeing obviously a lot more of the work from anywhere trends, which can be harder for early stage companies to adopt, you know, if you are hiring from certain states and working with certain HR and legal red tape. But we're certainly seeing that trend. It's here to stay. We love when companies can get ahead of it because it's just going to open up more of a pipeline for attracting and retaining and engaging, you know, talent for the long haul, especially as people are moving around from large metros to different cities. And, you know, you can really find talent all over the place. So obviously, I think that's an obvious one that's here to stay. We are seeing a lot more flexibility across how tech companies enable their workforce with the leading and best in class tools to really support them and help them bring their best, you know, self to work, setting them up for success. So I think there's going to be a lot more focus on that because you're going to get more, you know, positive results, higher performing teams, less attrition, better for your bottom line, better for driving your product forward and landing in the market. If you have happy employees, we're seeing a lot more investment in benefits, mental health benefits. As people are more isolated working from home, how can we still have the element of team bonding and people taking care of not just their physical health with like a gem stipend, right? But taking care of, you know, mental health. And maybe that's, you know, a virtual, there's some sort of benefit with virtual, you know, therapy. We see that a lot for families and growing companies. A lot of work share, job share. We're seeing this more for people that may not have the flexibility they once had, rather, you know, it's demands on their personal life or work life, more fractional employment, right? Mm-hmm. Some people coming on for certain sprints or projects and diversifying your workforce. Maybe not everyone is a permanent full-time employee. Maybe you've got a couple of fractional, you know, contractors and advisors that are helping you, you know, push the envelope and get to the next step in your growth. Gosh, what else?
Yeah, I think she said it pretty well, but additionally, like creating opportunities and having engagement with your employees as well as, you know, that has been more of a focus with a lot of clients as well, keeping mm-hmm. that kind of going off retention, you know, and keeping those employees engaged throughout their employment there and creating opportunities for them as they advance within the company. I think being able to offer that on the front end, while of course you won't know until you're in the company, you know, and, mm-hmm. and living that experience, that's something that having that focus and intentionality from the client side has been really empowering for candidates when they're interviewing to hear that from a hiring manager.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys touched on so many different major points of what the future of work embodies. And can I just say, as somebody that has a background in HR and compliance, thank you for mentioning the fact that the remote work is so much more beyond the remote work. There's a legal and HR compliance oversight aspect to this that's really critical to ensure that you are doing this adequately, because at the end of the day, I mean, this is the most regulated industry out there, and that's the industry of human capital. So cheers to that. Also, shout out to what you guys mentioned on mental health and having that clear designation for promotion. I personally think that there's never been an easier time for folks to find a form of employment than there is now. It's seconds of going online and finding a plethora of different opportunities. But you guys really hit on most of the ones that I think are going to be standardized when we look at the future of work, and knowing that the Gen Zs and the millennials are the largest part of that workforce now. So kudos to you guys. Thank you for that information. Now, when it comes to your content diet, what are some of those things that you guys are consuming to stay up to date, or perhaps things that really interest you on the interesting world that you service?
Absolutely. I think we both agree on Morning Brew is kind of our choice for consuming daily news. We love that, and the way that they craft their newsletter every week or every day. So that's been really helpful. Plus they have emerging tech. So, they have all the different components, HR. It's great to stay in tune with what's going on and trending in HR. So that's definitely a good one that we like to tune into. And then of course,
Shout out to Morning Brew. I read it every single day. And actually, speaking on that, this morning they showed a study with McKinsey, I think, that was recently done, that talked about the most amount of time that we spend. And it kind of gives you a timeline. But some of this resonates with your point in that the study actually indicated that people are spending more time with themselves than ever before. So you think about how critical of an element that is in bonding and creating a workforce that has a sense of camaraderie and culture, but we're all by ourselves. It really is a trance. But anyways, okay, continue, please.
Yeah, I think other things, gosh, I'd have to go in my feed and look, but I definitely read a lot, many blogs, like the AZ16 blog, just to see what kinds of startups are really, the startups of the future, where some of the big investments are. TechCrunch, a lot of online publications. We're also in a lot of professional recruitment organizations online, with other recruiters that are in different organizations, corporate and agency, and there's a lot of internal chatter and sharing about what people are seeing. What else? I think,
well, and then LinkedIn itself. Yeah, I think that's a feed that you can go through. And then podcasts, I mean, entrepreneurial podcasts, there's several that I follow. But then for more cultural, current news, definitely The Daily or New York Times.
And then I'm a huge fan of Adam Grant, who is an organizational psychologist, and he's at Wharton. I had the privilege of meeting him at WorkHuman a couple years ago in Austin, Texas, and absolutely love a lot of the research that he's doing and just a lot of the sound bites he puts out there about the future of work, HR, really building trust across organizations. Simon Sinek is also another person that we like to follow, Laura Rudiman. Gosh, there are a lot of leaders out there that it's fun to, get their perspective, and listening to a podcast, during the middle of the day, during a break, can certainly help.
Yeah, that's awesome. Awesome. Very good feedback. And a lot of those names I recognized and some I didn't. So thank you for that. I think I learned something with that. As we're wrapping up today's show, guys, is there anything that you would recommend in this very busy life? And I don't think anyone has this figured out, right? And some of us are learning how to maybe be parents. Some of us are learning how to maintain our health. Some of us are trying to figure out when to say no and stop and turn off the laptop. Is there anything that has helped you guys, I guess, organizationally run your day-to-day life a lot better?
I think having check-ins with one another as partners, we really rely on each other to be dialed in. And, sometimes that means virtually attached to the hip. And sometimes that means stepping back a little bit more to focus on deep work and relying more on asynchronous communication, leveraging tools that can help us operate that way within our team and still keep communication up, like Slack and other ways to automate communication. And then sometimes turning off notifications, right? And making sure we're dialed in on, hey, I need a bit of a break, or I have a couple of days I'm taking off to recharge and reset and come back stronger. And so those are some of the things that we think about. And it's really, it starts with, you know, building a trusting team. And, you know, our relationship dates back, gosh, now over a decade. And so we have that strong foundation of trust and have a great rhythm. But I think it really, you know, requires a level of transparency and then understanding yourself and each other. So I think we keep each other in check on, hey, like, how are you taking care of yourself, you know, during this, you know, really busy week, right? Because a lot of sometimes new projects or new client kickoffs, suddenly, you know, many job requisitions happen at once, and it can be a bit of a sprint. So how can we stay agile? How can we stay positive? And how can we make sure we're taking breaks? It's easy to take it all in or take it all on. And so checking in with each other, I think, is how we stay.
Take it all in and take it all on, right? I mean, it's everything. Yeah. You guys really have a great partnership, and I'm excited to see what the future holds for Backpack Talent. Where can we get in touch with you guys?
Yeah. So you can reach out directly. It's lauren@backpacktalent.com or brooke@backpacktalent.com. You can follow us online. Our website's also backpacktalent.com. And we're not as active right now on Twitter and some of the social channels because we're really tied up with candidates and clients, but we're working on that roadmap for the rest of 2022.
Nice. And really quick, last question here. How did you guys get the name Backpack Talent?
Yeah, well, this is a fun one. We went to NC State University, where we are proud alumnas.
Yes. What is that? Is that the wolf?
Yeah. And okay. Admittedly, sometimes we don't admit this, but I cheered and Brooke danced, and we've always had enthusiasm for the wolf pack. So there's a little, you know, I guess hat tip to that with pack, but really we thought a backpack symbolizes carrying your recruitment needs. It's a lot. There are a lot of details. There are a lot of intangibles. And we really want to carry that for people. We're also big into, you know, the outdoors. And so it's definitely a symbol that is important to us.
Nice. Nice. Well, very cool. Guys, thank you so much for being on the show today. It was really nice having both of you guys. And this has been a nice, refreshing change of pace to be able to sit down with two of y'all. And we appreciate you guys being as part of the Female Empowerment series as well. I think this is really important that we continue to have these dialogues. And we thank our listeners for tuning into today's episode. I always say this because I truly hold truth to this, but time is the most valuable gift that we can give one another. So we appreciate you, Brooke and Lauren, for spending some time. And of course, to our listeners for tuning in.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank Angela. You, Angela.
Of course. Absolutely. We'll see you guys on the next episode of the Ivy Podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Ivy Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our RSS feed on ivypodcast.com and all major podcasting platforms like Spotify and iTunes. As always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a rating on iTunes.